But first, it's been a busy week for the government, which has started a conversation on tax reform and released a major review of Australia's competition policies. There's also a debate underway now over whether generous superannuation tax breaks should be pared back for wealthy Australians. While all that's been happening, Bill Shorten has been in China this week on his first visit as opposition leader. He returned late yesterday and joins me now from our Melbourne studio. Mr. Shorten, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Michael.
What was the sense you got about where the Chinese economy is going and what it might mean for us?
Well, there's a big change underway in China where they're moving from a development economy with very high rates of GDP growth to what they call a mid to high speed economy. Or as the president of China said, a new normal, whereby they're going to focus less on investment growth rates and more on quality of life, lifting consumption within China, which is creating a strong middle class in China. I think that's good news for Australia. It certainly does put some greater pressure, though, as we've seen in recent weeks and months, on our commodity prices because the demand is going to diminish over time.
It certainly does. And the economy, although it's changing, it's transitioning, it is also slowing. We do have a rapidly declining iron ore price, as you said. That makes budget preparations even more complex and more would add some responsibility on Labor, too, to put the national interest above politics, doesn't it?
Labor puts the national interest first in our considerations. Michael, just to correct any implication that we don't. I think, though, when you look at the challenge of revenue write-downs, previous Labor administrations had significant revenue write-downs. They're always a challenge. But it's also important that we make sure that we don't stifle growth or confidence in the Australian economy. It's also important when governments prepare their budgets that they keep the promises they made before the previous election.
Labor certainly rode the resources boom, though, didn't it? The situation is very different for this government. You'd have to accept that.
There's no question iron ore prices are lower. But again, I'm far more upbeat about the future of China and therefore the potential for Australia to do well. We are moving from our historic high of investment in infrastructure and mining. Courtesy, though, of all that investment, we've got much greater volumes for our resources than we've ever had before. But the big transition going on in Australia, therefore, is to a non-mining economy. And there's great opportunities as China has greater demand for services for us to be part of fulfilling their desires to lift literally billions of people over the next number of years into the middle class. And
sure,
indeed, that goes for the whole of Asia in total.
Were you surprised then that Luke Foley in New South Wales invoked Chinese ownership of the electricity network in an attempt to scare voters? And was that raised at all with you by Chinese officials?
The Chinese government did not raise the New South Wales state election with me, which I think, when you think about it, isn't really surprising that they didn't. There is a deep reservoir of goodwill from China to Australia and also courtesy of the work done by Australian business, Australian academics, and, of course, successive Australian governments. There's great goodwill, I believe, for Australia to draw upon. China sees Australia as a place that can be a collaborator in their growth. Belatedly, the federal government's caught up with Labor and is now saying that they will support the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. There's plenty of opportunities with the current rise of China for Australian business and indeed for forward-thinking foreign policy by Australian governments.
Do you think Australians should be worried about the Chinese owning any part of our electricity network?
Well, I think the debate here is that in New South Wales, there was a clear debate on privatisation. New South Wales Labor went to the last election with a policy of being opposed to privatisation. The Liberals went with a different policy. The Liberals successfully won the election, but the results came in while I was in China. There was a 9% swing to Labor. So,
but as many have pointed out, it was the second worst result for Labor in New South Wales ever, and you lost ground to the Greens.
Well, Michael, again, Labor, you're right, the Liberals won the election, but Labor did very well in the election. They were starting from a low base and they improved their position.
Well, and when it was the second worst result for Labor, though, wasn't it?
Well, again, I'm not going to relitigate Saturday's election.
It was 9%.
It was a 9% swing, and I don't think I've had the chance to do it in Australia. I congratulate Premier Baird on winning, and I also congratulate Luke Foley on the campaign in getting Labor an extra 9%
okay,
winning
well,
seats.
Well, look, just before we move on to other issues, if it had been a bad result for the coalition, this would certainly have been seen as bad news for Tony Abbott. Equally, this result would have to reflect on your leadership, wouldn't it?
I think if the Abbott government and Joe Hockey and Tony Abbott think that there's good news for them in the New South Wales state election, they're not reading, I think, what people really think about the federal government. There's no doubt Mike Baird was a strong performer, but to the extent that if Joe Hockey and Tony Abbott think that this justifies their bad budget from last year, from pensions through to higher education, increasing the cost to $100,000 degrees, I think that would be a mistake by them to draw that conclusion.
Okay, well, we're getting a few pointers to some of the savings measures we can expect in the budget. On pensions, for instance, you rejected the government's indexation proposals. Now they're talking about a proposal that would scale back access to the pension for more wealthy Australians. You'd support that, I'd assume?
Oh, well, Michael, let's just go through what you've just said and what's actually been reported in the paper. It is correct that Labor has opposed the government cutting the rate of pension indexation. And today, for the first time, it appears that after nearly a year of Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey saying the government was government policies were unfairly being targeted by Labor through a scare campaign, for the first time we now see some chinks in the armour of the government's propaganda campaign where they've tried to pretend that somehow what they're doing was good for pensioners. Their budget last year proposed over 10 years cuts of billions of dollars from pensioners, up to $80 a week over the
Nevertheless, the history aside, would you support this position?
Well, first of all, when we say the history aside, there is no new proposal on the table from the government. There is no new proposal. And the second point, and this is why I can't agree when you say just dismiss it as history, the current government is proposing to cut pensions by up to $80 over the next 10 years. Now, the government is not walking away from any of that. We see a thought bubble where the government says, on one hand, maybe we'd consider another idea, but by the way, we haven't taken our existing election-breaking promise proposal off the table. But what I take out of today's story is nothing more than nothing less than after 10 and a half months of Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey saying that Labor was exaggerating the implications of their pension cuts, they seem to be at last agreeing that there is an issue here. And
so
that,
you would support it? You would support a move to scale back access to the pension for more wealthy Australians?
Again, Michael, I'm not going to give this government a blank check. What I would support is well thought out, detailed policies, which they haven't put to us. The discussion in this morning's newspapers is nothing more than Scott Morrison having a thought bubble. Maybe I might go this way, maybe I might go that way. In the meantime, the only fact that can be drawn from today's thought bubbles is that Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey know that they have been saying on one hand that Labor's scaring people unfairly about their pension cuts, and on the other hand, they're conceding. I think any reasonable person says they're conceding that their proposed pension cuts, which will see billions of dollars taken off pensioners, or in practical terms, up to $80 a week being taken away from pensioners because they're tinkering with the rate of pension indexation.
Okay, now the Shadow Treasurer, Chris Bowen, has indicated that that you will support a crackdown on generous super tax breaks. How far would you go?
Well, as an illustration of this point, we are very committed to people being encouraged to save for their retirement. We want to have a sustainable age pension system, and the best way to do that isn't this sort of thought bubble cut pensions rates in the last budget that the Liberal government have. What they should be doing is unfreezing superannuation increases. Now, part of the debate about superannuation is that in order to encourage people to save for their retirement, they receive tax concessions. The debate and the idea which Labor has, which is supported by a lot of independent financial analysts and indeed occasionally by parts of the government, although as soon as we have an idea, the government runs screaming from the room saying we don't want a part of this idea. Mm-hmm. But what we'd look at is that if you have $2-3 million in your superannuation account in the drawdown phase, do you really need a 45-cent tax concession? No one's against tax concessions to helping people save for their retirement. But what happened is that John Howard scrapped what was called the reasonable benefits limit. And that was a limit where above that, once the taxpayer had helped you get to a certain amount of savings in your superannuation, did you need the same concession above that level? Now, Howard scrapped it. So it's created, in my opinion, for a few very lucky people who've had the ability to save millions of dollars in their superannuation, they get a tax-funded concession. My aim and Labor's aim is to make sure that many Australians can get more money in their superannuation. And you do have to ask the question, should you have the same generous 45% tax concession for people who already have millions of dollars? Is it the job of the taxpayer to help
people already have... So you do now think there should be change?
Well, we did before the last election.
Well, back in 2012, when you were the superannuation minister, we were also talking about this.
Oh, in fact, we put up a proposal at the last election. And so this is not a debate about should people receive tax concessions to help them save. This is a debate about how generous should millions of taxpayers be to a few tens of thousands of people who have millions already saved. And I don't think secretly in the heart of hearts of the government they can see any case for keeping it. But what I do notice is that this government has been banging on saying, oh, Labor, you know, you don't give us your ideas, because let's face it, the government don't have a lot of their own. Okay, we'll be bipartisan and higher on reining in some of the excessive tax concessions and superannuation. And the day after we say that, we look around for, the sort of guru of policy bipartisanship, Tony Abbott. He's gone. He's left the room. He's not in for this. Okay, so they've undermined Hockey's authority, and we see that. How hard is it to have a serious policy for reform in this country when, as soon as Labor says we're up for some of the dialogue and conversation, be it multinational taxation loopholes or the excessive tax concessions at the very top end, the government just... they're not in for it. Bipartisanship for them is just a way to talk and to distract from the fact they have no plan for Australia's future, and they're cutting pensions and superannuation for ordinary people.
Bill Shorten, we will have to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining
us. Thanks, Michael.
That's Bill Shorten, the opposition leader.